The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, two pilots landing at LAX reported their planes were buzzed by a guy wearing a jet pack.
From Tony Kornheiser. Tommy Lasorda?
No, I was not thinking of Tommy
Lasorda.
You think it was him? I'm gonna mention two names I know you're familiar with. George Jetson and Elroy. Oh. They wore jet packs when we were kids. You were a teenager, yeah. I was a little kid. That was jetpacks. You say jetpacks, I'm thinking the Jetsons.
So that accurately predicted the future, doesn't it? And now there are these dopes who actually get these things on their backs and fly around at an airport, the worst possible place you can do that,
yes,
considering the traffic in the air. Absolutely
not insanity. Sorta. Come on now, not sorta.
No. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Rockets get by the Thunder. Giannis goes down 0-2, and Leonard Fournette joins Tom Brady and the Bucks. But we begin today with the surprising hire of Steve Nash by the Brooklyn Nets to coach their team, even though Nash has never coached anywhere. Nash was a great player, and he and Kevin Durant are close. It's also being reported that Kyrie Irving supports Nash's hiring. Wilbon, the Nets are expected to contend for the championship starting next season. Does this hire seem risky to you?
Yes. Look, you know how I feel about Steve Nash. I love Steve Nash. Steve Nash is one of my 25 favorite players of all time, forever and ever. That's how much I loved watching Steve Nash, which I got to do a lot in person in Arizona. My son woke me up this morning and said, "Dad, you won't guess who Brooklyn hired." I could have gone 400 guesses before I got to Steve Nash. But let me
say this, Tony. Chance.
And it does seem risky. In New York, where there are expectations, he's got one difficult dude to deal with, Kyrie, who he calls Kai, which is interesting. But let me just name some guys who walked out of a booth or off the street and coached and did pretty darn well. Pat Riley, Doc Rivers, Steve Kerr, Larry Bird, Isaiah Thomas, Mark Jackson. And I mean, these are guys who had some degree of success, a couple of championships in there. So maybe I need to back off. I was so shocked. I love Steve Nash, but I'm just thinking, what impressed them so much that they went, yep, we want Steve Nash?
Yeah, this is sort of unbelievable to me. I mean, he just got into an elevator on the top floor. I mean, the last time we saw Steve Nash, he was commenting on television about European soccer.
That's right. That's right.
Not about basketball. Two of those people you mentioned are very interesting to me. One is Steve Kerr. I got notes here. Steve Kerr took over a 51-win team, which is a lot of wins, and went to 67 and a championship in his first year.
Took over Mark Jackson's team, yeah.
Larry Bird took over a 39-win team, went to 58 in his first year and a conference final by his third year, which is the last year he coached. He was in the NBA finals. But then there's also Magic Johnson, who didn't like coaching and walked away from coaching.
That's right.
What I would worry about with Steve Nash, honestly, is what if he doesn't like it? What if it doesn't suit him? I don't worry about the big city stuff. I'm not sure about Kyrie Irving. I'm not sure. But Steve Nash can honestly look him eye to eye and say, "I was an MVP twice. So you got to listen for a little while." Again, Mike.
Fascinating.
Totally
fascinating.
Out of the blue. I never would have picked it.
No.
I wouldn't have picked it.
I couldn't. There are people out there, Tony, with stripes, right? Earned. And you can say, "I'm going to hire that guy." But you know what? Look. The Steve Kerr situation worked like a charm. Now, that team was already propped up. I mean, Steve Nash is kind of starting from scratch with this. And obviously, Pat Riley.
Well, you're not
Pat
starting
Riley
from
worked.
Scratch if you have Durant and Kyrie.
No, but
you're
I mean putting
scratch.
It together. You got the ingredients, but you got to make the soup, right? This is, this. Wow.
So I guess just to clarify, I guess it's not Pop. I guess it won't be Pop.
It's not.
Who you thought it might be.
I guess maybe Pop didn't even answer the phone for them. He might have just said, well, what are you talking about?
Okay.
On the court, the Rockets squeaked by the Thunder in last night's Game 7. I thought I had you and Charles for most of it. I really did. James Harden's defense saved Houston because he blocked Lou Dort's go-ahead three attempt with fewer than 5 seconds to play. Harden also saved himself from a ton of heat because he shot 4-for-15 from the field. Tony, did Harden's defense make up for his offensive struggles?
Just let me go back for a second because I want to clarify something. Didn't you pick Oklahoma City?
I did.
And didn't you say that Barkley and I were fools?
No, I didn't
for
say
picking.
That. No, I just said you were going
to
be wrong.
You said you would ring our phones at 2 in the morning. Yes, you did.
I wanted a trip to Chicago cut out of it. And now I got to
tweet
Charles.
I just want to make sure that we're on the same page on that. Now, Harden's play won the game. He was terrible on offense, 4-of-15 in a Game 7.
Yeah.
4-of-15.
Only 15,
which is particularly awful. He jumps up to make this block, and if he fouls him, they're going to lose the game. He doesn't foul him. I would say to you that no questions were answered about James Harden in a Game 7. No questions. But he won the game, Mike. He made the play. He won the game.
I'm going to disagree with you about this. Questions were answered. Tony, the job is to win the game. And James Harden has evolved to the point, first of all, 4 or 5 seasons ago, and I was covering James Harden in one of these big games, could have been a 6, could have been the Game 7, and a guy who's going to be in the Hall of Fame said to me, and I quote, Harden doesn't even try on defense. He doesn't even try, all right? This is an equal, just so to speak, maybe not in terms of point score, but an equal in the league. And I paid attention to that for a while. And I know this same player came back to me and said, listen, I know what I told you 4 years ago. He's trying now. This was 2 years ago. Last year sort of down. This year's defense back up. Tony, here's why Game 7 questions answered. Because when he wasn't playing well at the signature thing he does, he found another way to help his team. In the biggest moment, Harden, and he only took 15 shots, which means he didn't need to take 40 to find out he wasn't on. He moved the ball. He set screens. He played defense. He helped his team. I got nothing but praise for James Harden today. Nothing but.
I thought
Oklahoma City was a steal win that game. If Chris Paul hits that little shot in the lane to put them up one, Houston would have had all the pressure. I would have bet everything I have that Houston would have lost. But they didn't lose. They won, and Harden's why.
Let me know when you're done.
I'm done.
Because this is interesting to me in this regard. You slammed Harden for a lot of years. Now you're praising him for only taking 15 shots.
Yep.
Mike, he's an MVP in the league. And I said he won the game.
Right.
He's an MVP in the league. He was the fourth leading scorer on his team in a Game 7.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you that's inexcusable. He won the game.
Right.
But that's no good. Miami.
But Tony, at least he realized he didn't have it going and he didn't keep chucking it, which has been the Houston way. By the way,
it's an
how
MVP.
Many games are they going to get off the Lakers? How many games are Houston going to get off the Lakers? Will Houston get?
One, two at the most. Because although they were 2-1 against the Lakers this year and the only team in the West with a winning record against the Lakers, LeBron didn't play in one of those games. Anthony Davis didn't play in one another. Who's going to guard Anthony Davis when they start a lineup of everybody 6'4"?
Yeah.
1 or 2? Let me get to Miami.
Okay.
Miami beat Milwaukee for the second straight time last night. The game was tied on Miami's final possession. Jimmy Butler, your boy, went up from the left corner for a 2-point shot, which missed. The ball was out of his hands when Giannis Antetokounmpo put his hand on Butler's ribcage and was called for a foul. Butler won the game on free throws with no time left. Wilbon, are you okay with that foul call deciding the game?
Yeah. No, I don't like seeing those calls. I'm from the old school of you let that go. St. Ignatius' own referee, Mark Davis, made those calls. And you know what? At the time, I'm listening and agreeing with Doris Burke, who in real time said, that's not a foul. And then I watched Tim Legler on with Scott Van Pelt last night. And we both love Legler and love his sober judgment. I can say that, right?
Yep.
And when Legs says, no, you can make that call. You can call that in that situation. It's a foul. I'm off that. I'm off of that. I will say this. I mean, I thought the call at the other end, giving Milwaukee three free throws, I thought that was
the Middleton call.
The Middleton call.
It's not a foul.
Okay,
it was a terrible call.
We would not have made that call from the time that we followed these games in person for all our lives. But I'm just saying, does Legler not convince you? Do you listen to Legler? You have him on your podcast forever and ever. Don't you like Legler's assessment of these things?
I thought the refereeing was not very good. I hated the Middleton call.
I did too.
I didn't particularly like this call on Antetokounmpo, but his hand is on the body of the player who was just shot. And so if you are a referee, that call is available to you. What I want to know is this. This is two in a row that Milwaukee has lost. Do they recover from this? This is a terrible way to lose. There's no time left. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, but Tony, they got beat in the rest of the game. Milwaukee was up 111-102 before a couple of really good defensive plays, and one that they forced Jimmy Butler into a really bad turnover. I mean, they got beat. Miami beat them. I mean, I don't know how encouraged you want to feel. I will say this, going back to the foul situation.
I thought Miami was up.
I said Miami beat them. Miami won. They were up. They were up so much that
they
beat them. They beat Milwaukee a second game, to me. They outplayed them. By the way, Antetokounmpo did not complain about that call. In fact, he said, there might have been some contact. He didn't complain, Tony. So maybe you and I have to just back off that.
Let me go to this. We said yesterday that it's not normal playoffs in the sense that you're not going back to Miami for 3-4.
Right.
But Miami is with them every step of the way. Mike? Miami won 44 games this year, and Milwaukee won 56 games.
I know.
Miami appears to be a better team. They beat them when Jimmy Butler had nothing, when he made three baskets and 13 points. They had seven guys in double figures, and they got a coach who's got two rings.
Yeah.
Let's remember this. Let's take a break. Coming up, what does Leonard Fournette do for Tom Brady and the Bucks?
And later tonight, we got two more NBA playoff games, two NHL playoff games. So where do two college football games fit?
Miami is so interesting. They're pouring people out there. And everybody knows what they do well and they attempt to do it.
You know what their playoff record is right now in the bubble? 6-0.
6-0.
6-0.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tom Brady suddenly has another big-name player to help him in Tampa. Leonard Fournette joined the Bucs last night just days after the Jags waived him. Fournette ran for more than 1,100 yards last season, caught 76 passes for another 500. Will Bondi see this as a significant upgrade for Tom Brady and the Bucs?
I mean, how much upgrading can there be? I mean, he's not even the starter. You got, Ronald Jones, also apparently known as Rojo. I'm sure you're familiar with Rojo's work. And they got Shady McCoy.
Rofo.
There's so many guys on the Tampa Bay offense. It's like, each one of them, you would think is going to the Hall of Fame. Maybe a few will go. But okay, I mean, how many guys can Tom Brady have? If we just judge personnel, which is what everybody on television is doing now, just personnel and the contributions they are projected to make, then Tom Brady goes, 18-0. You know, he walks, you know, right into the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I don't know how this is going to actually play out, but on paper, it looks pretty damn imposing.
Can I ask the obvious question? Who is running the Jacksonville Jaguars? If this guy, Fournette, gets 1,600 yards from scrimmage and 1,152 yards rushing and catches 76 passes for 520 yards and they cut this guy?
Yeah.
They cut this guy? What, because he fumbled a lot? He had zero fumbles lost. I don't know what they're doing. Let me get to the Bucs for a second. Last year, despite the fact that Jameis Winston had 30 picks, and let me emphasize 30, because it's an unbelievable amount of picks, they still, Mike, had the third most points in the league.
Yeah, I know.
They averaged 29 points a game. So if they got rid of a guy who threw 30 interceptions and brought in Brady and Gronkowski and Fournette and LeSean McCoy, you have to think that they are a Super Bowl contender.
Let me jump off something real quick at the bell here, Tony. How come the other teams in the league don't seem to be trying as hard as Tampa? What, they got no money? $4 million is what he was going to make if picked him up off of waivers. So how many other teams in the league that just, we don't care.
Still
let Tom Brady have everybody.
Are the Seahawks smart to re-sign Josh Gordon?
No. I answer that same question the same way every year. Tony and I are also going to offer our reflections on the late, great Tom Seaver.
And Cam Newton was named to start for the Patriots. Now that Brady is in.
One of the captains, Tampa. One of the co-captains.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 68th birthday, one day late, Jimmy Connors. Nobody ever owned the U.S. Open like James Scott Connors. Connors, even more than native New Yorker John McEnroe, excited the New York City crowd. They loved him. He was the first American tennis rock star. He was anti-establishment, coarse, a bully. He'd go up to the net and threaten to ram your racket down your throat. At the height of their young fame, Connors and Chrissy Everett got engaged, though they never married. Connors won 8 majors, including 5 U.S. Opens. In 1991, at 39 years old, he went all the way to the semis of the Open, stalking all his night matches like a werewolf. He didn't have Sampras's serve, or McEnroe's artistry, or Agassi's theatricality. Connors just pounded the ball. His best weapon was his return of serve. If you hit it 120 miles an hour at him, he hit it 130 miles an hour back at you. He was fearless. He prowled the baseline like a lion. His game wasn't built for grass or clay. It was built for hard court. He was different than Sampras and McEnroe and Agassi. And honestly, if I had to have one of them play one match for my life, it would be Connors.
You know, Tony, I was hoping in that one clip that McEnroe had just taken a swing at Connors for putting his finger in his face. I'm a McEnroe guy. But let me say this. As much as I loved watching Jimmy Connors particularly play in New York at the Open, I know I can speak for you and say that Pete Sampras is the greatest American male tennis player ever.
Oh, absolutely.
Above Connors, above Mack, who I love.
No doubt.
All right.
Happy anniversary, Manny Ramirez. On this day 27 years ago, playing in his second major league game, Manny collected his first hit a ground rule double that he mistakenly thought went out for a homer, nearly making it to third in his home run trot before realizing his mistake. But it was a good thing he practiced the trot, because later in the game, he hit two out. That was a hallmark of his career. Do something comical, then do something great. Manny retired abruptly in 2011 when he was told he was being suspended 100 games for testing positive for a performance-enhancing drug in spring training. He'd already been suspended 50 games in 2009. Manny finished with 555 homers, 15th all-time, 1,831 RBI, 19th all-time, though it's doubtful he will ever get to the Hall of Fame. Late last week, John Heyman reported that Manny signed a one-year deal to be a player coach with the Sydney Blue Sox of the Australian Baseball League. He had last played professionally in 2017 in Japan.
He played for so many teams. And watching all those clips, which are amazing, I was thinking, okay, what do most people think of Manny as in terms of what club, what identification? And I guess because of the nature, the dramatic nature of that World Series championship, and Manny was on that Red Sox team, you think of him as a Sox, right?
I do. I think of him as a Red Sox, yes. A melancholy trails to Tom Seaver. The greatest player to ever wear the uniform of the New York Metropolitan Baseball Club died yesterday at 75. The Mets were the team of my youth, and Tom Seaver was the pitcher of my life. He is one of only two pitchers ever to have won more than 300 games. He had 311. To have more than 3,000 strikeouts, he had 3,640, which is sixth all-time, and to post less than a 3.00 earned run average, and his was 2.86. Two pitchers ever, Tom Seaver, Walter Johnson. That's it. That's the list. Seaver did not pitch his whole career for the Mets, but he pitched his best for the Mets. He was at the top of the rotation for the Miracle Mets in 1969, the most unlikely world champions ever, considering in the previous 7 years of that franchise, they either finished last or next to last every year. I was in college then. I watched every Mets game that was on Channel 9 in New York, or I saw them live at Shea. I was there the first game they ever went into first place. You could always tell when number 41 was pitching well because he had dirt on his right knee. That meant his left leg was striding long enough that his right knee grazed the mound. He was Tom Terrific. Not Tom Brady. Not anyone else named Tom. Tom Seaver. He was smart, he was personable, he was handsome, and he once struck out 10 batters in a row. On a personal note, I have this jacket, a replica of the jacket the 69 Mets wore, and I think of Tom Seaver every time I look at this jacket.
I hate that jacket. I was 10 years old when Tom Seaver and Jerry Kuzman and Don Clendenin and A.G. and all of them broke my heart. And I hated Tom Seaver as a kid. And then I grew up and I would appreciate the greatness of anybody as great as Seaver, and then became a sports writer and got to listen to him a few times. It was like, wow. I mean, Tom Seaver is the best of baseball. He was a part of baseball. To me, Tony, when baseball's better than it is now, the pitchers that were his peers, and he himself led that group. So I can't feel like you do, but I feel bad that we've lost somebody as great as Tom Seaver.
His peers in the moment were Jim Palmer and Steve Carlton mainly, and he was a great, great pitcher. When he went into the Hall of Fame, he had more votes than anyone to that point. We go to the big finish.
98%.
The Seahawks re-signed wide receiver Josh Gordon. Does that make sense to you?
No, never. You know how I am about this, and Antonio Brown. You know, no. Stop. You're not going to change him. Mike Clevenger makes his first start for the Padres tonight. You have high expectations?
Enormous expectations for Sunshine. That was the one big trade before the deadline. The Padres appear to be loaded.
Padres.
The Avalanche stayed alive last night. The Flyers and Canucks can be eliminated tonight. Will they be?
Yeah, I'm always good for the Flyers being eliminated. I sort of like the Canucks, Tony. Two college football games tonight. You interested? You're going to watch?
No, I'm going to watch when the Big Ten plays football. That's
we'll
what I
it.
Want
to
see,
we'll
the Big Ten. Last one, Raptors-Celtics. Nuggets, Clippers tonight, who you got?
Raptors have to win tonight to really extend that series and make it something. I think they will. And I'm interested in this Clipper-Denver series. Let's see what Denver's got left after those seven grueling games.
Out of time, try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. We're scheduled to be on the Deuce again tomorrow, knuckleheads. Still, you can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Thunder and lightning all around me now. All around me.
Good night.